Everyone, I encourage you to take your seats now, please. Let me welcome you to City Church this Sunday morning. A particular welcome to you if you're a visitor with us. This is a special Sunday for us. This is a special occasion because there's a commissioning service for our church plant, Grace Church, which begins to meet as its first meeting this afternoon in Stirchley Cotteridge. So this is a very special day for us. Let me just give you a few notices before we start the service. The week following this coming week, we have a special focus in evangelism as a church. So on Saturday, in the church office, we're going to have a meeting for training in evangelism at 10 a.m. in the church office. So if you're interested in finding out a bit more about how to do evangelism, consider coming along to that. And for that reason, our men's breakfast on Saturday has been cancelled. So if you are going to come to the men's breakfast, don't this time. It's been cancelled. And then next Sunday evening, a week from now, we have Contact on Sunday evening. What would Jesus say to Robbie Williams? It's at 7 a.m. in the Bristol Pear Pub. What did I say? A.m.? P.m. 7 in the evening. That would be a good opportunity to bring visitors along. And then a week on Tuesday, the 7th, we have a Balti quiz at the Masala Merchant. On the Tuesday evening. And again, an opportunity to bring along guests, a short explanation of the Christian faith as part of that evening. And then 2 weeks today in the morning, a guest service. So we have a series of outreach events in the week starting today, a week today. I think that's all the notices. You'll find flyers in your seats for What Would Jesus Say to Robbie Williams and also for the Balti quiz. So good opportunities to give invitations to people. The rest of the notices you should find in the notice sheet, and if you're a visitor with us, do fill in the welcome card that's part of the notice sheet. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, that's surely your experience, isn't it? It's certainly mine. When we deserve nothing from God, when we were sinful and in rebellion against him, and for no merit of our own, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and bring us into a right relationship with him. Astonishing. So we're going to sing about that. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. It loosed me from my bonds and set me free. Let's stand and sing together.
Oh, exciting.
I hope you're excited. I'm excited. Are we all coming? That's it. Lovely. Well done. That's it. Can we come? There's some seats here. That's lovely. Well done. Excellent. Oopsie daisy. Well, how about gardens? Do you like gardens? I love gardens. What about gardening? Do you like gardening? I'm not so good at gardening. It makes my back stiff. But I like it when Uncle Laurie gardens. He's quite good at gardening. My garden, well, I like flowers, so there are some flowers in it to be beautiful. And Uncle Laurie likes growing fruit and vegetables. So usually by summertime, there's some fruit, something nice and sweet, and something that's good for you growing in our garden. And it's a lovely thing having a garden. And I don't know if you've noticed, but everybody at City seems to be getting into gardening. Have you heard them talking about planting things? Have you? They haven't been talking about it for weeks. All the grown-ups have been going on about planting, and today is the day. We're going to plant today. So I've got my wellies in the car, and I bought my watering can, because we know that new plants need water, don't they? And we're going to get muddy and dig some holes, and it'll be great fun. Do you think I'm being serious? I'm not, I'm teasing. We're not really going to dig any holes and get muddy. Sorry about that. We're not. What we're going to plant today is a church. And we're not doing the planting, it's God. We're just part of it. You see, planting is a picture. Now, Fly, you're free. Could I borrow you? I've hurt my shoulder, so I can't hold this up. Could you hold that up for me? That's lovely. Planting is a picture, and it's one of God's pictures in the Bible. And often, God talks about his people as being a garden. Now, normally, God talks about the garden being a special kind of garden, the kind of garden where you grow vines or grapes, a vineyard. But God talks often about his people being plants and being a garden. Now, this is God's garden at City. This church, City Church, is God's garden at City Church Edgbaston. And you know, it wasn't always as big and beautiful as this. When it started, it was a little garden. Could I have my little garden stand up, please? This was how many people were at the start of the beginning of City. Okay, so these are the people I counted, and we had this many people. And now look around you, children, and see how many we've got now. There's a lot more now, aren't there? Thank you, guys. That's because God is a great gardener. He can take a few plants and he can turn them into a wonderful garden full of flowers and fruit and vegetables. And you can work out who's which yourselves. Now, well, they're good for you. When God plants, he could do like we do. He could take seeds and he could just start with a completely empty bit of earth with nothing around it. He could just chuck a few seeds in and let it grow. Or he could do what some gardeners do, and he could take a few plants from an existing garden and put them into that place where there is no garden. And then let them grow. And that's what God's doing today. He's going to take some of the flowers and fruit and vegetables from our garden here at City, and he's going to put them in a place called Sturchley Cottage. It's not very far away, but it doesn't have a really good family of Jesus like we have here at City. So it's a good place to start a new garden. Now, do you remember at the beginning I said I needed a watering can for new plants because new plants need water? Well, this is our bit. Some of us are going to go with the new plant. Who's going to go with the new plant? Grown-ups, could you stand up just so the children can see you? Children, can you see? All of these are the plants that are going to grow in Sturchley Cottage. They're not going to grow here anymore. They're going to grow in Sturchley Cottage. Thank you. You can sit down. But what they need, like any new plants, is they need water. And we're going to water them with prayer. Now, we could pray lots of things for them, and I'm sure they could have a list as long as my arm of things they would like us to pray for. But I've picked just three so that we can remember them. We're going to pray for them to have joy. We don't want them to be sad when they stop seeing us every week, do we? We don't want them to be sad. So we're going to pray for them to have joy. We're going to pray for them to have love. Because as they love each other and look after each other, then not only will they be very happy and they'll grow, but also everyone around them where there's no garden will see all the love going on in their church and want to come to find out about Jesus for themselves. And we're going to pray for faithfulness. Now, that's a long word, but it means we're going to pray that they keep telling the true story about Jesus patiently and clearly to everyone, just the way it's been told to them when they were here in our big garden. Okay, so those are the three things that we're going to pray for. And you know what? From today, I don't think we're going to call them a plant anymore. I think we're going to call them by their name, because their name is Grace Church. So we're going to pray for Grace Church, for joy, for love, and for faithfulness. So close your eyes and let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you have grown your church here at City and made us into a beautiful garden. We want to pray for Grace Church, your new garden in Sturchley Cotteridge. Please give all our friends who are going there to start Grace Church joy. Help them not to be sad that they won't see us every Sunday. Please give them love. Love for one another, love that will make the people around them know that they love you. And we pray too that you will give them faithfulness, that they will always tell the good news about Jesus clearly and patiently to everyone who wants to know, just as they have been taught by you. Amen. Right, thank you, Simon. We're going to sing a song now. We're going to sing Tell Them, because one of the things that we want the people at Grace Church to do is to go out and tell their neighbours all about Jesus. And we know this song, don't we? We sang it the other week. Okay, so if you'd like to stand as a church and we'll sing. Thank you.
Well, as the children go out, let us say, turn to prayer. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children you've given us here at City. We thank you that they are a gift from you, and we pray for them as they go out to their own classes now. Lord, we thank you for the teachers. We pray that you would give them wisdom to know how to teach the truth about you and the Lord Jesus Christ to young minds and hearts in a way that they can understand and that will later bear fruit and faith in your Son. And Lord, we do pray for the children as some of them go to Grace Church and some of them remain, and how they may miss their friends. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them and help them to understand, help their parents to explain to them what's happening, and help them to make new friends and good friendships. Father, we come as your people this morning. We come to praise your name. We come recognizing your perfection. We know that you are all good and all wise, all knowing and all powerful, all seeing. Father, we know that you are just and that you are holy. Father, we come recognizing your beauty reflected in creation that we see around us, with the enormous reach of galaxies and the tiny detail we see too in all the little things you have created too. Father, give us a real desire to see your name honored and glorified throughout this world. Father, we thank you for your good gift to us. We thank you that when we got up this morning, our hearts were still beating. Our lungs were still breathing. There was a roof over our heads. We thank you that there were clothes to put on and food on the table for breakfast. Thank you for our health and strength and our jobs and family and friends. Thank you for the privilege of meeting together as your people. Father, we know that we have nothing good except what you've given us, that every good gift comes down from you, and that you don't change, that you are faithful, and we can trust you. Father, help us not to rely on the gifts, but to depend on you, the giver, day by day. Forgive us when we take these things for granted. Father, we thank you this morning, especially for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we were the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. Lord, we thank you for that rescue mission. We thank you for your astonishing love towards us. We thank you that you were prepared to give your only Son and pay that terrible price of seeing him die on the cross in agony, bearing the penalty and the cost for our sins. Father, we thank you for the glorious resurrection when death was defeated. We thank you that your Son is now seated at your right hand and they are interceding for us. We thank you for the privilege of being your people here at City, your people at Grace Church, your people around the world. Father, we know that you've called us to be a holy people. We know that you have determined to make us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ and to display your character in the places where we live and work. And Lord, we confess to you this morning that we often fall far short of that. We stop to look back at the last week, Lord, and we just admit to you the things we recognize that we've said or done that we really know we shouldn't have, that haven't brought glory to your name. We remember the things that we've left unsaid or undone that we wish we had done. And Father, we recognize that in many ways we haven't been the sort of people we should have been to bring glory to your name. And Lord, we just take a moment now to reflect on these things and to confess them to you in the quietness of our own hearts. Heavenly Father, help us to genuinely repent of our sins. Help us to really hate them and loathe them and want to be rid of them and determine to live differently. And we ask for your help in doing that, recognizing that we can't change ourselves. Thank you that our sins have been punished on the cross. Thank you that you are faithful and just and you won't punish them again. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit working in us to make us into the likeness of Christ. So, Lord, all these things we thank you for. We come to you confidently this morning, and we ask that you would help us to praise you this morning with sincere hearts, to pray to you sincerely. We ask that you would change us as we hear your word read and preached. And we pray that you would help us to celebrate in a right way Grace Church and its beginnings. All these things we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to come to the part of our service where we will be commissioning Grace Church. And I want to just read to you the Great Commission. Jesus said before he ascended back to heaven to his disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, always, to the very end of the age." Commission just means sending. So what Jesus commanded his disciples to do, he commands all Christians to do, to be sending believers out into the world to proclaim the gospel. And so it's our privilege today to be sending, to be commissioning Grace Church to go out and make disciples with the same assurance that Jesus is with us always, even to the end of the age. So let's stand and sing together, "Go forth and tell." That's what we're saying to them, isn't it? Go forth and tell the gospel. So let's sing it to them as well. Let's stand and sing. Just as relevant for us planting a church, isn't it? This is mission too. A mission in our country is just as much mission as mission overseas. Well, please do take your seats. It's good for us to recognise this morning that church planting is biblical. You only have to open the New Testament and look at the account of the early church in Acts and read the New Testament letters to see that the church is to again and again send people out and establish new churches with new leadership to proclaim the gospel anew. which a real privilege for us to plant as a congregation, isn't it? It's a real privilege. Hopefully this is the first of many church plants that we'll be able to continue, God willing, as he equips us to send out again and again and again. But this is the first, so it's special. For those of you who perhaps are visiting or don't know much about it, this is the culmination of a number of years of thinking and planning and praying and looking to God to help us. The church plant is going to be a number of miles south in the city of Birmingham in the Stirchley Cotteridge area. And we have quite a number of people, about 40 people, living down in that area of Birmingham. And we have a great opportunity to strengthen the gospel witness in that area of Birmingham. So I think we come this morning to give thanks to God, to give thanks to God for the leaders, Dan and Andy and Mike, who God has raised up to lead this new work, to give thanks to God for the people in city that God has put on their hearts to step out with a certain cost, to leave this congregation and go there, and for the gifts that he's given to them to equip them to be the new congregation. I think we should be thanking God for the resources he's given to us. Looking back to the gift day last year, how God has marvelously equipped us with what's necessary to step out in this way. And also, we thank God for the building. The Grace Church is going to be meeting in a Dell Road Gospel Church, and they are a church building there, which is just a marvellous provision from God. They've welcomed us, they're happy to see us, they want to cooperate in preaching the gospel and witnessing for Jesus Christ. So that's wonderful. So this is a day of real joy for us. It's also, in some ways, a day of sadness. There's a separation, a sort of bereavement involved in this. There are people who've been here for a number of years, close friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and now we're going off in different directions. Not a million miles away, but still, we won't be seeing each other on Sundays and won't be seeing each other at church events so easily through the week. And we just need to recognise that, and also just recognise the rightness of it. This is the right pattern, isn't it? We come together to serve God, and then we send people out to serve God. And at the end of the day, City Church or West House School isn't our home. Grace Church or Dell Road Gospel Hall isn't our home. It's the new heaven and the new earth that's our home, isn't it? So we'll all be together again then, whatever happens in the meantime. And it's just right to recognise that. There's a rightness in feeling some sadness, as well as rejoicing in an occasion like this. Now I'd like to invite Dan and Andy and Mike to come up to the front. If you don't know them, that's Dan Steele, Andy Weatherly, and Mike Summerfield. Maybe you just come and stand at the front here, guys. We want to recognise Dan and Andy and Mike as being those whom God has called to lead the church, that he's equipped you to lead the church and gifted you to lead the church and called you out of city to go to Grace Church. And what I'm going to do is just ask Dan and Andy and Mike each the same two questions. Maybe we'll just grab the mic from over here. Yes, that'll reach. There we go. Dan, maybe I can just ask you, how has God brought you, prepared you for this, brought you to this day?
That's a good question. I guess it's a conversation I had when I was a student with a relay worker. That's where it kind of began, who thought it might be an idea to think about doing a bit of sort of full-time, set-aside Christian work, and I did that, and it's sort of been a process from there, involving time in the secular workplace and learning about what pressures people are under, and 2 years working at City, and 2 years at Bible College, and then coming back here, and a real love for Stirchley Cotteridge. We bought a house about 5 or 6 years ago there, and it was the place that we could afford. It was £42,000, and I was on £8,000 temp salary, so we sort of ended up there and then had a real heart for the area. So when we heard City were planting, whilst we were at college a couple of years ago, it wasn't a difficult decision to say we'd love to come back and do something in that area, really.
And what are your hopes, what are your expectations as you start out this afternoon with Grace Church?
Well, I guess the hopes that it would be that we would just be faithful, as the kids were learning, that we would be faithful in proclaiming the gospel to one another as a church and growing as a church, being transformed to Christ likeness and actually taking the gospel out to the area. Of course, we've got dreams that we'd love to be planting ourselves in a few years' time and that kind of stuff, but actually, realistically, for the here and now, that we'd be faithful getting on with the work we've been called to.
Great, thanks very much. Andy, let's come to you next. Andy, same questions. How has God prepared you for this point?
As you were reading the Great Commission a few moments ago, that it just caused me to reflect on something that I heard a guy who was going back into pioneer student work in Rwanda and Burundi after the troubles there a few years ago. And someone asked him, how do you feel about going into this country and starting a work with nothing? And he said, what do you mean with nothing? We've got the Great Commission, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the power of prayer, we've got a great God behind us. And there's a sense in which I think, although we're young and in lots of ways feel quite weak and vulnerable, we have a great God who's behind us. We have the Great Commission, we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything that we need, and we have so much more than that chap in terms of a supportive church who've taught us the gospel faithfully over many years. And I think we really sense that, you know, it's right that we should be doing this and that God is sending us out to do it. In terms of preparing me, I remember when I was a student here, when I started 10.5 years ago, when I used to go home, people would say, where are you students? And I'd say, Birmingham. And they'd sort of wince, as if to say, you had the choice of anywhere. Why did you go to Birmingham? And I'd sort of agree with that. And I had a little mantra that I'd sort of follow up saying, I'm a student in Birmingham, which was, on the day I graduate is the day I leave. Because I didn't feel anything towards Birmingham at all. And I think just God has done quite a work in...
Sounds like a miracle, Andy.
Not just keeping me here, but really generating a love for the place and the city and a real conviction that we ought to be doing everything we can to win as many folks as we can here, and a real sense of conviction that planting churches is the way that we're going to do it in the long term. They're actually just growing bigger churches is insufficient for reaching communities and peoples where they are. And I think, you know, we have to plant churches, and so it is with a real sort of a real sense of love and longing for Birmingham and for Stirchley Cottage that we really want to go in.
I guess that sort of flows over into your hopes and expectations.
I was thinking a few weeks ago just about the parable of the sower, when we were talking with UCE about their mission week, and just kind of hopes and expectations as we undertake the work of the gospel and just how that works out in Jesus' life as well in the gospels. Just the sense that there is, there are people who start well in the Christian life and then just fall away, and there is real disappointment in gospel ministry. And that's something we've got to expect. There will be folks who we think are converted and who fall away, maybe who join the church and then leave or whatever. And there is a real sense in which I think it's right for us to be expecting some hardships and difficulties along the way. There's a real delay in the work of gospel ministry. But there is, at the end of it, a great harvest. And that's important for us to keep remembering it and reminding ourselves in the long term that the gospel is powerful and effective, and that God is faithful, and that through the teaching and preaching of His word, that His word does its work in people's lives.
Great, thanks very much, Andy. And then, last but not least, Mike. It's all often difficult to go last, but if Mike says the same things as the others, then it's because they're you're united and they know what they're doing. So, Mike, how have you come to this point?
My wife and I left Dunedin in New Zealand and ended up in Birmingham in the UK through a very convoluted path. But when we got here, we were fairly sure that we were here for a reason. It wasn't that it has more miles of canals than Venice or a chocolate factory, that something more was going to happen. And I think a couple of summers ago, I started to wrestle with this idea that I might be called into full-time ministry. I say wrestled, I fought against this idea that I might be called into full-time ministry. But after a number of months, I thought, that's right. I am destined for that. And so I began to talk to the elders then about, well, what do you do with that? What do you do with that sort of thought? So I began reading with John and with Hugh. Began thinking quite hard about it. And so when they asked if I would be involved with the plant, I already had a great conviction that would be right. That was where God was leading me, no matter how unprepared I felt or no matter what I'd planned to do with my future. So I then began to undo what I'd planned to do with my future. So I'd gone down to 4 days a week at work, pulled out of the PhD that I was enrolled in, and started to train with that energy to be able to lead God's people.
Thanks, Mike. And what about your expectations and hopes as you start out this afternoon?
I really hope that God uses us. I think I've got no idea how this privilege came to us, that we are both God's workmanship and his fellow workers, that he entrusted us with the gospel to share. So I hope he uses us. I really hope to see his people suddenly realize that and come to us in repentance and to be learning from his word and being discipled in his ways. So that's what I hope.
Great, thanks very much, guys. I hope that gives you some idea of a where Dan and Andy and Mike have come from and where, hopefully, with God's help and power, this is going to go. I'm going to ask my fellow pastors, John and Neil, to come up to the front. And we're going to pray for the Grace Church. I think it would be good if those of you who are going to Grace Church might perhaps stand. Would that be all right? Do you want to stand and we'll pray for you?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for raising up Dan and Andy and Mike to lead Grace Church. Thank you for bringing them to City and for every way that they've been a blessing to this congregation over the years. Thank you for how we've seen them grow and mature. And thank you that you have been preparing them for this new work. Thank you for the gifts that you've given them for it. And thank you that those gifts have been tested and confirmed in the ministries that they've already exercised here. Thank you that you've given them a heart to serve in this church plant. And we praise you and thank you for all the sacrifices they've been willing to make to lead Grace Church. Thank you that they've not chosen easier options of ministry that might have been available to them, but that you've led them to work in this way. We pray that as they start this new ministry, you would make them and keep them faithful ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that they would remain faithful to your word revealed in the Bible. We pray that they might humbly listen to you by feeding on your word for themselves before they teach it to others. We pray that they would remain convinced that you speak through your word and that your word preached in the power of the Spirit changes lives and brings men and women to conversion and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Please help them to make the word of God central to their ministry and keep them from false teaching, from heresies, and from distractions that would move the word of God from the centre of their work. We pray that they would do the work of evangelists, that they would be committed to the people of Sturchley and Cottridge and maintain a desire for the gospel to go out to them. Please would they not become inward looking in their ministries. And we ask and pray that they would lead the church, not just in teaching, but also in mission. We pray that you would give them a love for the people that you place under their care at Grace Church. We pray that they would be faithful under-shepherds of Christ, loving the people in their congregation and serving them. We pray they would be examples to the flock of godly living. We pray that you would give them wisdom to deal sensitively with pastoral issues and the courage to correct, rebuke, and discipline where that is needed. We pray that they would seek to please you rather than to please men in their ministries. And we pray that you would deliver them from judging the success of their ministries on the worldly basis of size or numbers or significance. We pray that you would give them unity amongst themselves as they lead the church together. Please would they love each other deeply from the heart and help them to make every effort to maintain peace. We pray that as they lead the church, they would not lord it over the congregation, but follow the example of the servant leadership of the Lord Jesus. We pray that they would trust you for everything that they need for this ministry to which you've called them. Please would you remove from them any pride or confidence in their own abilities and give them a deep dependence on you. We ask that they might be men of prayer, constantly seeking your will and seeking your strength for their work. When they feel weak and inadequate, may they know that you are strong and that your grace is made perfect in weakness. May they have confidence that you are a faithful God and that you will sustain them and uphold them in everything that you've called them to. We pray also for their wives and families. We thank you so much for Zoe, for Joe, and for Michelle. We thank you for the support they are to Dan and Andy and Mike, that they're partners and helpers in their ministries. We pray that you would protect and strengthen their marriages, and that their marriages would model the relationship between Christ and the church. We pray that you would help Zoe and Joe and Michelle to cope with the new demands of being pastors' wives. And we pray that in the busyness of church life, Dan, Andy and Mike would not neglect their families. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we want all of the glory to go to you this morning as we think of how you brought this church to the place of being able to plant. We thank you for raising up from amongst our number 40 or so who want to go and be part of this new gospel work in Sturchley Cottage. Father, our hearts cry out to you for this city as we think of the hundreds of thousands of people who do not know you or the Lord Jesus Christ, who need to hear the good news of the gospel. We praise you for the number who've been willing to commit sacrificially to this work of planting the church. Father, we ask and pray for those who are overawed at the sense of what they're about to do, that they would know your presence leading and guiding them over the coming weeks ahead. We thank you, gracious Heavenly Father, that you have brought just the right people to plant this church with the right variety of gifts so that every area of church life you have provided for. We thank you for those who are musicians. We thank you for those who are able to teach the children. We thank you in every way you have provided for each ministry of the church. We pray for those taking on new responsibilities, for those who will serve at Grace Church as deacons. We pray and ask that they would be led by you and know that they are equipped only by you for this work. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we prayed for unity amongst the leadership of the church, we also pray for unity amongst every member, that they would indeed be one family who love each other deeply from the heart. Give them a desire to serve and love and look out for one another. Give them great desire to welcome in new people. May those who started the church not feel that they are a clique within a growing church, but please give them a desire to welcome in new people as they arrive, that each member of the body might play its part in building your church. We ask, please, gracious Heavenly Father, give to Grace Church a zeal for your name, a devotion for your cause, a courage by your Spirit, and a love for each other that flows from your grace, that your church may be built and your name made known to the community of Sturchley Cottage. Amen.
Amen. And Heavenly Father, we want to pray for the area of Sturchley Cottage and for the people who live there. Father, we thank you for Dell Road Church. We thank you for their faithful witness in that small congregation over so many years. We thank you for just providentially bringing a Grace Church to them, for their welcome to Grace Church, and for their willingness to cooperate and to a partnership in the gospel. Lord, we pray that that would be a wonderful and fruitful partnership. And Lord, we recognize it as an answer to their prayers as well as an answer to our prayers. Father, we pray for the Christians who live in Searchley-Cottage area. We pray that they would be encouraged to see a new congregation meeting in their area. We pray for those who perhaps have not been fed from your word, that they might be encouraged to come back to church. And Lord, we pray most of all for those in Searchley-Cottage who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we think of Paul in Corinth and how you said to him, "Do not be afraid, I have many people in this place." Lord, we do believe that you have many people in Searchley-Cottage, people who are lost and without hope or help in this world. We pray that you would be speaking to them even now in their hearts, preparing them to hear the gospel, making them discontent and alarmed at their own situation, opening their hearts and minds to recognize the truth when they hear it. Lord, we pray that they would recognize the Lord Jesus Christ in their neighbors who go to Grace Church. We pray that they would form good friendships. And Lord, we pray that we would see in your mercy many people come into faith over the coming years in Searchley-Cottage in ways that will cause us to look back and thank you and rejoice at what you've done. So Lord, we commit the whole work to you, and we ask that in your power you would prosper it for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats, and please take your seats down. Seats at hand. Now, perhaps the congregation who are staying behind would stand now, and those who are not going to Grace Church, and we have a pledge, if you want to join with us in saying this together, as we just commit ourselves to support Grace Church. Let's say this together. We, the congregation of City Church, commission you for Christ's service. May God strengthen and equip you as you go to serve him in Grace Church. We resolve and promise to pray for you and support you and look to God to use you in his service. We commend you to the grace of God. Amen. Well, do remain standing as we sing. We're going to sing about the church. We may be turning in from one congregation into two, but we're still one body, we're still one family, we're still one field, and we're going to sing together about the church. Oh, what glory! Thank you. one of the members of Grace Church is going to come and lead us in prayer. Pete Ambridge, thanks.
The beginning of Psalm 111 says, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate." Heavenly Father, as we consider this psalm, we recognize that just as the psalmist and Israel remembered, pondered, and rejoiced in your deeds, so we also rejoice in your evident work among us as a church. Just as you have saved your people out of Egypt and displayed your power to the nations, establishing Israel as your chosen people, so help us to rejoice and ponder how you have saved us through the cross and called us to be your people and established your church. We specifically rejoice at how you have graciously established and grown City Church, and can repeat with the psalmist, "Great are your works, O Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds." May we also rejoice in the opportunity to plant a church and so be part of your work of growing your kingdom in Birmingham. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who will now be taking new responsibilities at City Church as a result of people moving to the church plant, and pray that you'll provide them with the abilities and perseverance needed to fulfill these roles. Though initially the church may feel the loss of close friendships and partners in the gospel, we pray that friendships will deepen among those left at City, and this will serve to advance the gospel. May this church be united in Christ and always seek to build each other up in love. As the church elders seek to equip new people for gospel work, whether in the workplace or in full-time ministry, please give them grace and wisdom to recognize individual gifts in the congregation and nurture these for your glory. Heavenly Father, we commit to you the government, that they may govern diligently, knowing that their authority is given by you. May those who are Christians in government always seek your glory in their work, seeking to use their positions of influence responsibly. With this in mind, we particularly commit to you the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the ongoing troubles in the Middle East countries. We also pray for your people in the armed forces, that they will have strength to live distinct lives, and that in your grace you may use them to be witnesses. We also pray for your church in these countries, that they would persevere, often under persecution, knowing a sure hope of heaven. May we not grow weary in supporting and praying for your persecuted church. And we pray for Helen Campbell as she visits Cambodia and Thailand, that she may be used with the other Western Christians to encourage the churches there. May you grant them safety. May they also have wisdom as they seek to evaluate how in the future mission organisations may be able to support these isolated and persecuted believers. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We're going to turn together to listen to God speaking to us as we read from his word. So if you haven't got your own Bible, it'd be helpful to find one of these red Bibles near your seat. And turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be starting at verse 22, which can be found on page 1218 in the red Bibles. Starting at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's take a moment to pray as we come and look at this great passage together this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that although we had once not received mercy, by the grace of the gospel, we indeed are a people who have received mercy from you. We ask and pray that you would help us by looking at your word today to learn what it means, to understand and live in the light of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are running just slightly over time this morning. Can I just say, if you are parents here, you may need to just nip out at 12 just to go and collect a child. I can cope with the noise. If you want to bring them back in and be with them at the back, that's fine by me. So please feel free to do that. Well, it's a great day to think just 7.5 years into the life of City Church that we're able to plant a new congregation. And I think as elders here at City, we feel a little bit like the father of the bride on the big day. And what a beautiful bride she is, if I might just say. We're a mixed bag of emotions, very proud, very excited, very sad to be saying goodbye. I don't know whether those of you starting at Grace Church feel as if your honeymoon is about to begin. I'll leave that for you to consider. But whether excited or nervous or slightly apprehensive, we can have great confidence this morning because we know that it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is building and that he goes before you and with you to Grace Church. I heard a great illustration, this kind of idea that it is the Lord who provides in every way for us in a sermon I was listening to earlier this week, and I thought I would share it with you. The minister reminded us of what it's like when you're a very young child and you give a present to a parent. And he said something like this, I can't remember exactly, but he said, you didn't know it was your dad's birthday, but your mum told you. You didn't know what to give him, but she decided for you. You didn't have any money with which to buy a present, but she gave you that too. You couldn't possibly go to the shops on your own, so she took you and bought the gift for you. And then you got home and you couldn't handle a pair of scissors, so she cut the paper and the sellotape and even wrapped it for you. And then she gave you a pen and a little tag, and you scribbled your name or what passed as your name upon it. And then she attached it to the gift, and then you took the present to your father, and he was thrilled to bits with what you had given him. You see, all that we are and all that we have is made possible only by the grace of God. Sounds like a good name for church, don't you think? So if you're feeling a little bit apprehensive or anxious this morning, remember those words of Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, I am with you to the very ends of the age. And whilst church planting is hard work, and at times you'll feel out of your depth, the testimony of God's people and the testimony at City Church, that's exactly how we felt as we started that time ago, is that God is with you every step of the way, enabling you to present an offering pleasing to God. And not only is Jesus with you, but Jesus gives you his word to guide you in church planting. The Bible is a church planting manual, and it gives you all you need to understand what it means to be church, and therefore what it is that you're to do. It seems pretty obvious, you see, that if you don't know who or what you are, then you won't necessarily know what it is that you should be doing. An Amish boy and his father decided to visit a shopping mall just to see what the outside world looked like. They were amazed by everything that they saw, but especially by two shiny silver walls that could move apart and close again. The boy said to his father, what's this, father? The father said, son, I have absolutely no idea. None at all. While the boy and his father were watching these walls that slid apart and closed again, they saw a rather decrepit old lady walking towards the wall. She pressed the button and the wall opened, and there was a small room in there. And so the old lady stepped into the room, and then the Amish boy and his father saw the timer above the walls as it went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the wall slid open, and out walked a stunning 24-year-old blonde woman. And while the father was still looking at the woman, he quietly said to his son, quick, go and get your mother. You see, unless you know what it is that you're looking at, you won't know what to do with it. There's the rather tenuous link with that story. And knowing who or what you are ensures you know what to do. And I picked the passage, 1 Peter, this morning, because in it we find Peter giving us three descriptions of what the church is, and with each description he urges the church to live in the light of that understanding. So we're going to think about what it means to be church, and hopefully this will be a reminder for us at City here, and also something that the Grace Church plant people can take away with them. Did you notice there, right at the beginning, turn back with me to chapter 1 and verse 22, that Peter begins by describing the church as the family of God. If you notice the language in these verses, starting at verse 22, there's language of babies, languages of being born, brothers, and growing up. It's the language of the family. And you see, becoming a Christian isn't like joining a club. Church isn't a society for people with a common interest. It's not like joining a football team. No, church is a family that we're born into. Do you notice there in verse 23, Peter reminds these Christians, you have been born again. How? Through the living and enduring word of God. You can't join a church. You can only be born into it. And being born into God's family is like being born into the royal family. You see, you might receive an MBE. You might even be able to buy a knighthood. But you can't buy the letters HRH. You have to be born into the family in order to belong. And having been born into God's family, we receive the privilege and the honour and the responsibility of living in that family. And so the members of Grace Church, those people who stood up a few moments again, they are people who've been born again into God's family through believing the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel revealed in the Word of God. God has given us, chapter 1, verse 3, new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. So the church is a family, God is our Father, and we're born into it, and therefore we belong to one another, and we have that responsibility to each other. And I wonder whether Grace Church will be recognized as a family. Well, we'll see in the coming weeks, months, and years ahead. But you see, being in a family won't necessarily guarantee that you know how to behave as a family. Sadly, in our society, many families don't relate well to one another. They're full of mistrust and argument. Well, Grace Church has an opportunity to show what it is to belong to God's family, to belong to a loving community. How? Well, Peter says to these people, love one another, chapter 1, verse 22, deeply from the heart. What does it mean to be part of a family? It means to love one another deeply from the heart. And sincere and genuine love isn't a smile and a handshake at the end of a service. No, it's that costly, sacrificial giving of yourselves in the service of others, seeking their good, just as you would in a family. The American comedian George Burns said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. That's quite an attractive thought, I guess, to many of us. The benefits of the community, but the safety of the retreat. Well, the Bible won't have that. No, we're to love one another deeply, sincerely, from the heart. And that's never going to be easy, but it's a powerful testimony to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that kind of love that will welcome the stranger and the newcomer. It's that kind of love that will be patient with the fool, generous to the poor, kind to the weak. And it's that kind of love that will humble the proud. It's that kind of love that will generate a family free from those signs of dysfunctionality in chapter 2, verse 1. Where Peter says, rid yourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. But Peter is saying in these verses that we don't have the ability, naturally, to live out this family life. It actually needs to come through the living and enduring Word of God. Did you notice sandwiched between this call to love one another deeply, chapter 1, verse 22, and this call of chapter 2, verse 1, to rid ourselves of all those things which are the opposite of love, is a reference to the Word of God. The Word of God which stands forever. It's mentioned three times in those verses. It's the Word of God that enables you to function as the family. And the same Word of God that gave you life as Christians is the same Word of God that will cause you to grow together, is what Peter says in these verses, because it's in the word of the gospel that you're called to follow Jesus' example, to share his faith, love, and hope. And so as you prepare to leave City Church, and as we think what it means for us to continue to be God's church, let's remember this, that it's God's word that changes lives. Do you see that in these verses? There's a call to love one another. There's a call to rid yourselves of those opposites of love. And slap bang in the middle, Peter says it's through the Word, the living and enduring Word of God, as you learn and relearn and rub in the gospel and the truths of Jesus. And so, chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says to Christians, crave the Word. Just as a newborn baby craves milk, so Grace Church must have a healthy appetite for the Bible. Have an appetite that's as real and as strong as when you first became a Christian. Do you remember that, becoming a Christian? And just wanting to be in the Bible all of the time, learning, discovering, finding out more about God. And Peter says, crave it in the same way. So that, chapter 2, verse 2, you may grow up. And that's a plural verb there. So that you together may grow up in your salvation. You'll do that if you together crave the word. I take it as read that you guys going to the plant want to be a family that loves each other deeply from the heart. You want real community. You want real fellowship. You want deep love. Well, as one person puts it, if you want chapter 1 verse 22, then you must obey chapter 2 verse 2. If you want to love one another from the heart, you're going to have to keep craving the word. See, no amount of sandwiches and coffee and donuts, no amount of fun can build and sustain a loving family. Natural effort can't build family in that kind of way. Well, maybe in the early days, it might just be possible for you guys going to plant a church to just run on the buzz and the adrenaline of starting something new, of it being exciting and different and so on. But that is never going to sustain a church plant more than just a few months. It is the Word of God deeply in you as a community that will grow you together in your salvation. So if you want to play an active part in a church, if you want to really belong to the family, the very best thing that you can do above everything else is to stay fixed on the gospel. Delighting to do God's will, because the hope of the gospel is growing in you day by day by day. If you're going to the church plants and you're thinking, well, what should I be doing? What can I do? Peter says, crave the word. Start there. The Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane once said these words, "My people's greatest need is my personal holiness." And so it is. In any family situation, personal holiness will produce in you that character so that you can love one another from the heart. And I hope we've modelled family life centred around the word here at City. It seems to me, from the many conversations I've had in recent weeks, that we're going to find it hard to say those goodbyes, because family life is a reality here. It's hard to say goodbye to family. Some of us are going to struggle with that, losing friends. For some people, we'll think the friends and the family I have as brothers and sisters in Christ here are closer to me than my physical family. I wouldn't be surprised if that isn't true for many of us because of the hope of the gospel. It's going to be hard to say goodbye to family. It's a testimony of the word at the center, building us in community together. So what is Grace Church? What is a church? Well, it's a family of God. And what should they do? Love one another deeply through the word of God. Now Peter changes metaphor, and in verses 4 to 8, the language switches from family to building and construction, and to one building in particular, the temple of God. The church is the temple of God. Now, in one sense, God, of course, inhabits the entire universe. You can't contain God in a building. Solomon said, the heavens, even the highest heaven, can't contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? So the Bible warns us against any notion that God is somehow constrained to a building or constrained to a day of the week or anything like that. But nevertheless, God did choose to have a certain dwelling place, the temple, where Israel could meet with him, a place where he dwelt with his people and was the means of access to him. That's really important to understand this morning. If you're thinking through Christianity, if you're someone who's not a Christian here today, it's vital that you understand that you can't approach God on your own terms. You can't decide how you might meet God, in what kind of way. We don't define the terms. And I say that because I meet a lot of people who think that they can. that they can meet with God where they choose, on their terms. One man goes to church, another goes to a yoga class, another meets God on a mountain walk, and so on and so on. But the Bible insists that God's means of meeting with him is through his temple. And what's staggering is in chapter 2 here of 1 Peter, is that Peter radically defines the temple of God. Peter tells us that since the coming of Jesus, everything has changed. And we now no longer need to go to a physical building in Jerusalem. We don't go to a building, but instead we come to a person. The person of Jesus Christ. He is the means of access to God. For he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. He is the means of drawing near to a holy God. He is the temple. And now Peter extends the metaphor even further as he says, if you want to draw near to God, if you want to approach God, it's not just through a person, but now 1 Peter chapter 3, it's through a people built on a person. We are the living stones. Chapter 2 verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, standing, of course, verse 4, on the living stone, Jesus. Jesus in these verses is compared to a cornerstone. And the cornerstone was the foundational stone of the temple. A recent archaeological discovery has discovered that one of the cornerstones in the temple in Jerusalem was 39 feet long. One stone, 39 feet long. A huge stone, but necessary for an enormous temple. And so it is that we, the people of God, can only be built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. For a building to stand, it needs a stone that is true. And Jesus is that stone. And Jesus determines the scale, the size, the shape of the building. So the church is the temple of God built on Jesus. Even though this cornerstone was rejected by so many, it is precious to God. So what is the church? What is Grace Church, Sturtsley Cottage? It's the place where God dwells by his Spirit, built on the cornerstone of Jesus. And just as we enter the family of God by being born again, so through the gospel, so Peter reminds us that we're these living stones, that when we become Christians, we're built together on that foundation of Jesus to become a spiritual house or temple to God. And it's at this temple that true worship of God is to be found. True worship of God comes through Jesus Christ and is built on Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. And that is why we need more people of God building temples of God in many more communities in this city of Birmingham, because people can't meet God any other way. Grace Church Sturtsley Cottage will be the most important building in Sturtsley Cottage, because it's the means of access to God. The only means, along, of course, with those other true churches faithfully working and ministering in that community. A temple is a place where God dwells, and it's the place where we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A temple is the place where we bring spiritual sacrifices as worship through Jesus. And so if you think, what is a church? Well, it's a family, and you're to love one another and care for one another and serve one another, and there's that very real horizontal dimension. But of course, a church is supremely a place and a people where Jesus' name is held high and God is honoured and worshipped through spiritual sacrifice. So worship is the first duty of the church. What is Grace Church for? It's a place to glorify God and see his name held high in the area of Sturtsley Cottage. It exists for the glory of God, that true worship built on the cornerstone of God. Please do pray, as we prayed this morning, for Dan, for Andy, for Mike, as they take the responsibility of leading this new congregation. They need our prayers as they plan, not just this morning, but over these coming weeks and months and years ahead. Let's pray that they will have a sure sense of God's leading as they ask the question, is what we're seeking to do, each step of the way, built on the cornerstone of Jesus? Every decision that they make, is this built on Jesus? Is this true to the gospel? And secondly, as they ask, does what we're planning to do bring glory to God? Because that's what a temple should do in every way, bring glory to God. And in a world constantly rejecting God, the leaders of Grace Church need to ensure that they remain true to that foundation of Jesus and building only on him. The final metaphor Paul uses for the church is a people in verses 9 and 10. God's chosen people, as we were singing of in the hymn that we've just sung, the people of God. And once again, Peter helps us to see who we are and as a result, what we're to do. And if you look at verses 9 and 10, you'll see that Peter uses the job description once given to Israel and gives it now to God's people centered on Jesus. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. To be a priesthood means to declare God's praises to the world, to be a mediator between God and humanity. And that was the job that God gave to Israel, to declare the praises of God to the world, to declare to the world who God is. And Israel failed abysmally as they took other gods and worshipped false gods and confused the world about God. But as God's chosen holy people, a priesthood of God, it is vital that we here at City and that those going to form Grace Church are a people who want to declare the praises of God to the world, true to him and his name. Grace Church is therefore a community of priests representing God to the people of Sturchley Cottage, declaring his praises to the world. And we'll see here again that God never saves people for themselves. God saves us in order that we might take this message to the world. Look at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So go into the world with the good news of Jesus through the grace of the gospel. We're not declaring anything about ourselves. It's not the role of Grace Church to go into Sturchley Cottage declaring that Grace Church has arrived, but to declare that grace has arrived. Do you see? To declare the good news of Jesus. Not try to make a name for ourselves, but a name for Jesus. As priests, his representatives to the community, to keep talking of him and calling upon people to be reconciled to him. How fitting a name Grace Church is when that is what you have to declare. Well, how do you declare it? Well, through lips that speak his praise, verse 9, declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. But also, I think verses 11 and 12 give us a big clue that it's not just through singing songs in Dell Road Gospel Hall on a Sunday, but actually by living out lives of holiness in a pagan world. Do you see that? Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I have a friend who lives in the United States. He's a Brit who got married to an American. And his status in America as a British person is resident alien. He lives in America. He works in America. He pays his taxes in America. But he doesn't belong to America because he's a Brit abroad. And so in the same way, Christians in this world are resident aliens in the world. We're fixed here for a time, and God has called this community to be fixed to Sturchley Cottage, serving that community. but they don't belong to it. Aliens in this world, yet living in this world. We don't belong, and yet we're committed to that community. Strangers in the world, living amongst the pagans, means that they might see your good deeds, verse 12, and glorify God on the day he visits us. It's a slightly odd conclusion there in verse 12, but I think it's important to realise that this idea of glorifying God, the verb for glorify here is used 61 times in the New Testament, and it's always only used of people who are rejoicing in God and celebrating him. So I think chapter 2, verse 12, is really a call upon Christians to live such good lives in the world that people may be converted, that they might see your good deeds and glorify God with joy in their hearts on the day he visits us. And that's why it's vital that we keep planting churches. Because how are people meant to see our good deeds and hear the praises of our lips if we're just one community in one part of Birmingham? We can't expect people to stumble across us by accident. We have to go out into Birmingham and see not just one church planted, but 20 churches planted. We won't do them all. I hope we'll plant, as Hugh was saying, more churches from city. We'll be able to marry off our other daughters. But we also want to see other like-minded churches planting. Maybe we'll plant together, City and Grace Church, and plant another church. But if we want the pagan community to hear us declaring the praises of God and to see our good deeds lived out amongst them, can't wait for them to come to us. We've got to go to them. And church planting is costly. Maybe some of you are happy that we've come to this day, but would rather we weren't thinking about church planting again too soon. Because it costs in money. It costs in people. It's hard work to train up new people and to find new people to take responsibilities here. But you see, chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, once we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we've received mercy. But how many more people out there are those who've not yet received mercy? And how can they, apart from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? So let us, as churches, City and Grace, be committed to pray and to seek new churches planted right across the city. Some by ourselves, others as we pray that other like-minded churches would seek to do the same, that more and more and more people can discover for themselves the mercy that Jesus Christ offers. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, only by your grace are we even in a position to talk about planting churches. Only by your grace have we been born again into your family. Only by grace have we been built onto the cornerstone that is Jesus, to be the very temple of God. Only by your grace are we now your royal priesthood, sent into the world to call people to be reconciled to you. We praise you for your mercy to us, and we thank you for the privilege of this mission. We ask and pray that all that we might seek to do for you in the future would flow out of a grasp of grace for ourselves, that we were once not a people, but now we are, and that you would send, equip, and use us to the glory of your name. Amen.
Well, we're about to sing our closing song. I have a notice for those who belong to Grace Church that the first meeting is at 4 p.m. this afternoon at Dell Road Gospel Hall, and you're welcome to arrive from 3:30. So there's a notice for Grace Church. We're going to sing a song that looks back and looks forward, Lord, for the years, looking back to all God's done in the past and looking forward to the future. So let us close by standing and singing together. Thank you.